We'll go into the study in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm enjoying these studies. I'm being filled with good things. Are you? With knowledge and with understanding, especially if you know the Lord. And if you want to know Him, what instructions we have here for your salvation. The word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And it does away with every bit of our preconceived ideas and what we think of our God, what we think of His salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this study here in 1 Corinthians has been very enlightening along that line, talking about the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. I praise the Lord that we have His wisdom to lead us, teach us, instruct us. But the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, let us begin reading again from the first verse. The first verse. And I, brethren, when I came to you, the Apostle Paul speaking here, he said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declared unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princess of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now we went through that last week and illustrated to you from God's word that how these who crucified our Lord, if they just knew who it was, what they were doing, if they only knew the wisdom of God, had the knowledge of God, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written in that ninth verse, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. I've always loved that portion of Scripture ever since God saved me over 20 years ago. I had not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that loved Him. And I've often said over and over again, if we delight and rejoice in Christ and have such knowledge and wisdom here, what would it be when we see Him, when we come to know Him face to face, the reality of Him? You know, it's the greatest thing in the world, and I find it so. It's to know Him, it's to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of His resurrection, translating you as a sinner from darkness unto light. It's the greatest thing in this world. I marvel at the grace of God. And I'm sure if you're saved, you marvel at the grace of God too. You can't get over it. You can never get away from it. From what you were when God found you, the type of sinner you were, and then to know what you are by grace in Christ. That's the wonderful thing about salvation in Christ, and to know that He did it all, and He's continually doing it all. A salvation is of the Lord. We learn that all the time. And so therefore, what a salvation we have. And we've seen so much now by His Spirit, through His Word, by revelation. And just think what it'll be in the future glories, when we shall have our new bodies. I can only see so much right now, talking about the eye of the heart. I had not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But look at the 10th verse now. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And you can never know grace except by the Spirit of God. You can never know the wisdom of God except by the Spirit of God. Did you know that? You can never be saved in the part of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He knows God. He knows Him better than we do. He knows the deep things of God. And we do not know Him except as the Holy Spirit reveals Him to our hearts. And we come to know God as our Father, as our Lord, our Savior, as our Redeemer. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Now we begin with that, I believe, with the 10th verse this Sunday. But let's read on down through the 12th and maybe the 13th. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now that carries us back to that 10th verse. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. Man does not know the things of God. They think they do. And they pretend to do. And they go on like they do. But if they do not know Christ, if they've never been awakened to the fact that they're a lost sinner and brought to the knowledge of Christ, they know nothing about God. Because you don't learn God by reading books or by science through education. You do not learn God by those means. God's revealed by revelation. Now that's another thing that makes salvation so great. The most ignorant, uneducated individual can have just as much knowledge of God when revealed by the Spirit of God as that educated individual who sits in a high seat of learning. Isn't that so? We've got people who cannot even read or write throughout the different places in this mission, this ministry. But they can tell you all about Christ and knowledge that they receive by revelation from God. And then the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to his people, he said, I came to you, not in the wisdom of man. And then the Apostle Paul was a learned man, a smart man. But he told these Corinthians at Corinth, he said, I came to you not with excellency of word, of speech, fine words, smooth words, and intelligent words, but I came to you, what? I'm determined. Unto you the testimony of God, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And preaching the cross of Christ was a stumbling block to the learned Jew, to the learned Greek, but unto them that believe it was the wisdom of God. And so, but you can only receive those things by revelation, as we're going to see in these verses of Scripture. The 12th verse. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, look at that 14th verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He's talking about the unsaved individual, the natural man, the unredeemed individual who's never been touched with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a natural man. And he cannot, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, whether it's a preacher or doesn't matter where it may be, if they're not saved. For they are foolishness unto him. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. And neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, the Word of God is spiritually discerned. And only those that are spiritual can understand it and receive it and believe it. But you receive that by revelation from the Spirit of God. And therefore, it doesn't matter how much individuals may laugh at the Bible and say things about the Bible. I understand that. I've come in contact with them over 20 years since God saved me. And I've had to learn that they cannot see the things of God because the Word of God is spiritual. And only those who have a spiritual sense, a spiritual knowledge, a spiritual nature can receive and believe the things of God. And you get that nature from God himself. And therefore, I do not argue, debate scriptures. I get letters, I get books, I get all types of literature wanting to debate the scriptures with me. And want to educate me a little bit. I got, I don't know how many books last week from some individual in town. He hears me all the time. And he thought he could just open my eyes to some things that I do not see. And I tell you truthfully, there's many things he puts down there I don't want to see. I only want to see the things that the Holy Spirit teaches us and opens our hearts and minds as pertaining to the Word of God. He wrote me a letter, and you remember the time I mentioned that I just put the books aside, I just set them aside and don't pay any attention to them. And he told me, he said, I would that you wouldn't just set them aside, you take them up and read them. But I know what he has. He's debating the scripture, he finds fault with the Scofield Bible, and he just goes on and on. And I just don't have time for that. God didn't call me to discuss things, debate scriptures. I had a woman from up north somewhere. She sent me a whole lot of scriptures. They wanted me to answer them. I ignored it. Just ignored it. I knew where she was driving at. She got so angry at me, she wrote me and she said, you are in rebellion against God. You are lost on the road to hell. Because I wouldn't answer her. Well, you see, you get all types of letters like that. And if my heart, my mind wasn't open to the truth, if I didn't know Christ, I'd probably believe her. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they're spiritual. And it's the reason why people do not believe the Word of God is that they're lost. And we've always said throughout the years that the Bible was written for believers, not for skeptics and agnostics and unbelievers and those that despise the Word of God. The Word of God is written for believers. And the only thing that we can tell individuals, now you believe it, if you believe it, you can be saved. And if you disbelieve it, God can do nothing but damn you. I don't care what man says about the Word of God, what any individual or group of individuals in the church or out of the church, the Word of God is true. Whether I believe it, you believe it, or anyone believes it, the Word of God is true. Because I've staked my eternal soul upon the word of God here. I know what it's done for me, and I know what it can do for you if you surrender unto it. And believe it. God does not ask our opinions and what we think about it. He declares it. His word. And he tells you to believe it. You may not understand it, a whole lot of it. Many things I do not understand, but I believe it. There's many things I'll never understand, perhaps in this life. But I still believe it. It's so. I'm not going to be one that calls God a liar or that may rebel against him and his word. But look at that 10th verse. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now who knows the mind of God? The Holy Spirit. Now God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now the great truths of God's word, the great fundamental doctrines, are communicated to the people of God by the Holy Spirit, the agent. The apostle said unto us, which meant to him, the other apostles, and to we as a whole, all Christians everywhere, the Holy Spirit reveals those great truths of God's word unto the believer. Now how does he do it? By the illuminating agency of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. Let us turn to John, the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. In your Bible, turn to the 16th chapter of John and the 12th verse. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now that's the missing note in present-day preaching, is the work of the Holy Spirit in our churches. They do not honor him. And the men of the churches do not sanction him, the Holy Spirit. But how can any individual learn about salvation, the way of grace, except for the work of the Holy Spirit? He is the one that does the illuminating, the convincing, the conviction, the breaking, gives power. It's the Holy Spirit. Now look at the 14th verse of John. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Oh, believer, is that something? How often do you been in your studies, maybe in the home, washing dishes, maybe on your job, and the Holy Spirit will take some of the great truths of God's word and just reveal them unto you. And you made to rejoice and thank him. He shall take of mine and shall reveal them unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you, the Holy Spirit. We can learn nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the part of the work of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, every bit of it. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, holy men of God spake of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That being so, the Scriptures are inspired. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to write it. But you cannot see that in a part of the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. That's why men do not believe it to be the Word of God. And they'll cast it off as it's written by man. That's man's work. And well, and they go on. Man, not realizing that it's written by the finger of God, every jot and tittle in the Word here in the Bible, written by the finger of God Himself. Men by nature are not able to discern the deep things of God, the truths which are needful of salvation. Now you listen to me tonight. If it was not for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and make these great truths of God's Word known to us by His illumination, we would remain in the same darkness as other men, blinded, unable to see. For the Spirit searcheth all things. He searcheth accurately, diligently, so as to fully understand. He searcheth the deep things of God. He knows God. Or to denote a careful and accurate investigation of secret and obscure things. The Holy Spirit has an intimate knowledge of all things. Now, all things has reference to all subjects, all laws, all events, and all beings. Yea, the deep things of God, as that 10th verse tells us, the deep things of God. In 2 Corinthians, the entire abounding fullness which God has in Himself. Everything which goes to make up His being. And what are they? His attributes, His thoughts, His plans, and His decrees. If you'll turn with me to Romans 8, and we'll see just a little more there. Romans 8. You brought your Bible, turn with us there to the 26th verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I praise the Lord for that. I know when I entered into the tabernacle this morning, I was completely at my wit's end. I was. And I just began to think, go just talk to a couple of the brethren and ask them what they thought. Give me voice to me what they thought of this ministry. Did they really entirely believe that this was God's word? Or that if I'm the leader that God wanted here? And is God really with us, and is He moving? Are sinners being awakened and convicted? And are their hearts being blessed? You know, I really came to my wit's end this morning. But you know, the thing that thrilled my heart and made me rejoice is to know that where I was unable to even utter a word, a thought, a prayer, that the Holy Spirit, who indwells every born-again believer, helps us in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, in our efforts. As just like that scripture said there. Listen again to it. I'm going to read it to you again in the 8th chapter of Romans. Repeat it again. And maybe you'll think likewise about it. Maybe it may help you anytime as a child of God. When you're unable to pray. When you're unable to think. When your mind is tired. Your body's tired, and you belong to Him, you know that. And you begin to realize that this is God's work, this is God's ministry, and that He's going to help us. He is going to empower us. And we really don't know what to ask for at the time. But there's the Holy Spirit there. He searcheth the hearts. Listen. Well, all right. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I believe you saw me. You got a little close to him this morning. You'd heard me groaning. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will, or we might say the declared will of God. And I don't know what the day has meant to you as a whole, but oh, how the Lord God answered with fire today every one of our hearts in the message, in my own soul, and how my heart has been made to rejoice, and that he's leading us. And let us go on now. Let us go on. The Holy Spirit is not a distinct being from God. There is a union between him and God, such as may be compared to the union between a man and his soul. They're inseparable. God is one, and though he subsists as Father, Son, and Spirit, yet he is one God. Now, this gives us some idea of who the Holy Spirit is and of his importance in the salvation of a sinner. Without his illuminating work, we can have no true knowledge of God the Father and God the Son. We certainly can't. We cannot know the secret counsels and purposes of God till they are made known to us by his Holy Spirit. We cannot know or believe them unto salvation till he enlightens the mind, open the eyes of the heart, and gives us such a knowledge and faith of them. Now look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now what does the apostle mean by that? For what man knoweth the things of a man? How much do I know about you? I can look at you and try to discern you and try to register in my heart what I think you're thinking, of what type of man you are inside, but I cannot discern you. Listen to it again. What man know the things of a man? No man can know his own mind, his own plans, or his own intentions, but he himself. He alone knows. His own spirit. The idea is that no man can know another. His thought and designs can only be known by he himself or by his own spirit. And unless he chooses to reveal them to others, they cannot discern them. They're hidden. As long as I can converse with you and you never disclose yourself, your thoughts, and everything to me, then I'll just be as dumb as can be, because I'll never know unless you disclose them to me. Now, what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here is the same thing in the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I can never know a thing about God, about his revealed will, about the deep things of God, the knowledge of God, God's wisdom, his grace, his salvation, without revelation, without the work of the Holy Spirit, the agent that illuminates us and reveals those great things to us. We can try to figure him out. We can try to work it out. get as much education we can and to study him out and try to just to lay hold of him through science or all types of means, but it all falls in vain. He still remains the same, and we still don't know a thing about him. And that's what man's trying to do today. Trying to know about God, about his salvation, about the Lord Jesus Christ, in the part of the Holy Spirit. And man cannot know him in the part of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why if the Holy Spirit never lays hold of your heart and awakens you, you are gonna. Though you may profess to know God, but not realizing how far you are from him. What a distance he is from you, from your mind, from such knowledge of him. Listen, let's go on. Now the same can be said of God. No man can penetrate his designs. And unless he chooses to make them known by his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, they must forever remain hidden to the human mind. And that's the reason why men have such a vague concept of God today. They try to make him out who he is, but they cannot. They're trying to reason with the human mind, the natural mind. You can't do it. And that's where Christianity is going on the blink today, as a whole, the religious world. They're trying to figure out God. They're trying to get God to come to him, to them, instead of them bowing at his feet in submission to him. They're trying to bring God down to our own level. That's right, to their own level. Trying to take God off his throne. Trying to take away his sovereignty. Trying to do away with his word. They're trying to bring in another Jesus. Or one that they can do with as they please. Another gospel. They must forever be hidden to the human mind. How important is the work of the Holy Spirit? Save the spirit of man which is in him, that is, except his own mind, that is himself. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The illustration is this. The Spirit only can know the depths of God. For as the spirit of man which is in him can alone know what is of him, so only the Spirit of God can know what is of him. My dear sinner friend, do you want to know Christ? Then you trust yourself in the hands of the Holy Spirit. You'll never know him in the part of the Spirit. And believer, you can never know, understand more and more of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, except as revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. For as the spirit of man which is in him can only know what is of him, so only the Spirit of God can know what is of him. Now he has the exact knowledge of all things. He knoweth all things. And he enters into the very depths of God and penetrates into his most secret counsels. Now why is it that the believer has a high concept of God? A higher reverence for him, honors him, glorifies him, is because of what the Spirit has revealed unto him? Why is it that man, in their natural state, has such a low, degrading thoughts of God, and who they think God is because it's never been revealed to their heart who God is. Oh, but when the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds, and then we'll see God as he is, believe him as he is, the all-knowledge, all-omnipotent, all omniscience, the Almighty God. The Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man knows his own mind because his mind is one with himself. The Spirit of God knows the things of God because he is one with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as no man can come to the knowledge of what is in another man's mind till he communicates and reveals it, so neither can we know the secret counsels and purposes of God till they are made known to us by his Holy Spirit, and that is by revelation. I want to read you something here in connection with this verse of Scripture. Just hold your Bible there. I want to read something to you. As the Apostle Paul spoke these words, he said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace," what for? "To reveal his Son in me." Salvation comes by revelation. Now the Apostle Paul had to be awakened and quickened, enlightened to the things of God. First to his own self as a sinner. And no wonder he was made to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But in the next breath he said, "I praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that for Christ who is our victory." That all comes by revelation. You don't learn those things from books, from seeing movies. No, you learn those things from the Word of God. And if you're saved, that's where you learned it from. You took time out to learn it. The Holy Spirit was your teacher, teaching you all about yourself and all about the things of God. And that's the reason why we hold the Lord Jesus Christ up in such high esteem. We reverence him. We adore him. The Lord, the God of our salvation. Isn't that so? So no man can come to the knowledge of what is in another man's mind till he communicates and reveals it, so neither can we know the secret counsels and purposes of God till they are made known to us by his Holy Spirit by revelation. We cannot know or believe them to salvation till he enlightens the mind, opens the eyes of the heart, and gives us such knowledge and faith of them, of all of our God, his characteristics, his attributes. And look at the 12th verse. We're going to leave you just a couple of minutes, a few minutes here, in that 12th verse of 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now we have not received the spirit which is in the wise men of the world, as you'll find in verse 6 of this chapter here. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, nor of the rulers of the world," as verse 8 states. "The views of truth which we have are not such as this world gives, but are such as are communicated by the Spirit of God." Ephesians 2:2 tells us, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit." Now, that's the way unsaved individuals walk in this world. They walk in the spirit of the world, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. And that's the spirit of Satan. Every unsaved individual walks in the spirit of Satan. If you're not a child of God, if you do not adore him and love him, And if he's not precious to your heart, and you don't find him your all in all, then you are walking according to the course of this world, to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Because the child of God is an obedient God, a child led by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, and has such great truths and knowledge revealed to his heart that's enough to sustain him in this life, that enables him to adore the Christ that's his in salvation. Listen here. The Spirit which is of God are proceeded from God. Now we are under the teachings and the influence of the Holy Spirit if you're a child of God. That we might know. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Might know what? That is, that we might fully understand and appreciate the knowledge of divine things, and which belongs only to the children of God. And then that last thought, the things that are freely given to us by God, God's favors bestowed upon us. Now what are they? The blessings of redemption, the pardon of sin, justification, sanctification, and the hope of eternal life. Now, those are some of the things that God freely bestows upon those that believe, those that know him. These things we know, and it is confirmed by the Holy Spirit in us. What great privileges of the gospel we receive through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men can say what they will. They can criticize. They can just say all types, utter all kinds of words and descriptions. And concerning Christ, the Bible. But let me tell you something. The individual that's saved, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, he has great privileges of the gospel. He's a privileged individual. He's a special individual in the eyes of God. The world does not understand him. They'll look upon you as you out of your mind. You talk about someone, to tell someone and say, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm walking with him. I want to know where he's going. I want to follow. I'm following the Lord. What are you following? Oh, I'm following the crowd. I'm following the great men of this land. And I'm just following the crowd. You see? But you know, that crowd is not going the right way. It's going the wrong way. But that individual whom God has saved, he's a privileged individual. I count it the greatest privilege that could have ever befelled any individual in this land is to know Christ, for the Holy Spirit to awaken me. That's a great privilege. My dear sinner friend, if God's awakened you, you had better count it a great privilege. It's not every individual that is awakened. And if God leaves an individual alone, the individual goes on his way, his merry way, and in the end, he plunges into an eternal hell. And that's all God has to do with any individual. It's just to leave you alone. Take his hands off of you and say to the Holy Spirit, he is joined to his idols. Let him alone. He wants those things more than I. There's nothing that I want in the part of Christ. And I can say with the Apostle Paul tonight, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Isn't that wonderful? Can you say that, believer? Can you say that from the bottom of your heart? For to me to live is Christ. I want him to have every part of me, everything of me. I want him to occupy my heart, my mind, everything about me. I want him to fill me up with himself. And that's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said that you shall be filled with the fullness of God. And when you have Christ and you fill with him, you have the fullness of God. And you have a blessed hope set before you. You have a joyous life in Christ. You know the peace of God which passeth understanding. And you know the peace of God by walking in his will, in obedience unto him, surrendered at his feet. Do you know Christ? Can I make that personal to your heart tonight? Do you know what I'm talking about? There's not everybody in this assembly here tonight that knows what I'm talking about. The reality of Christ in your heart, that you could say, certainly, Christ is my life, Pastor. He's my Lord. He's my substitute. He's my salvation. And there's nothing else in this life worthwhile having. I've got him. And so if you can say that, well, happy are ye, then you understand what I'm talking about and what the Word of God tells us, and you delight in those things. And what special privileges the child of God has. I have great privileges, great freedom, great liberty in Christ. I'm not under the law anymore. I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm not under the penalty of the law, nor the dominion of sin anymore. God has freed me from all of that. Isn't that something worthwhile to rejoice about and to praise him? People think that they got liberty. They partake of the things of the world, the flesh, in their drinking. And if they're carousing around, they think that's a lot of liberty. Well, those things, they hold you under their power. You're influenced by them. The world is influenced by those things. But the child of God is influenced by him, by the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad you came tonight. And I hope that you know Christ, and if not, I hope you have a longing in your heart after him. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Comfort. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. May God lead you, keep you, direct you in his will. And sinner, my sinner friend, that there'll be such a longing in your heart after Christ that you come to the place where you cannot live without him. I must have him. I want him. May God lead you. Let's stand. Our Father, tonight we thank thee for the lesson that you've given us by thy Spirit. And we thank thee for this group you've sent this way, for the many friends, the visitors in our midst. Bless every heart. Deal with every heart, my Lord, that they all may know the Lord Jesus Christ. They may love him and follow after him and rejoice in so great a salvation. Lead us and guide us. Keep us humble. For Christ's sake, we ask it in his name. Amen.